Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of the podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness which create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality and your life by mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And I'd like to say that if you find the content of this podcast helpful, I hope that you will consider sharing it with others. That's a great way to support the podcast. Now, on the podcast, we have a few series. We have our Tuesday Taoism. We have our Zen stream on Sundays. And then I do try to throw in an extra episode once a week based on a related topic, something having to do with mental health, meditation, mindfulness, relationships, basically anything and everything that helps you have a greater sense of peace, reach goals, achieve dreams, just live an overall happier day-to-day life. So again, if you're new here, welcome. And again, thank you for being here. Now, today being Tuesday, we are doing Tuesday Taoism. And Taoism is based on a book written 2,500 years ago, give or take a few hundred years, in ancient China. And it's a book of amazing wisdom. And it's composed of 81 very, very, very short chapters. Who it was written by is up for debate. Many people believe it was written by a hermit at that time. Others tend to believe that it was written by different philosophers throughout the years, regardless of who wrote it. Again, it is just an amazing book of wisdom, a book I discovered as a teenager, and I've always come back to it throughout the years. And it's always kind of given me great guidance, I guess is the best word, and a process through which I've been able to get realigned, I guess is a good way to put it, get re-centered. And so I decided that I was going to do this series and been doing it now for a little while. We are up to chapter 62 this week. And as I say every week, beware that depending on which translation you read, you can get a very different interpretation of the original text. I'm reading this particular translation, by Stephen Mitchell, but you can pick up a translation in the same language by a different author and have a completely different sounding chapter. And it's kind of interesting to see that if you're ever curious. You can read, another translation and see what you find. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into today's material, chapter 62. I'm going to read it to you, and then we'll discuss it a little bit and hopefully get something great out of it for our practice today. So this is chapter 62, Tao Te Ching, translated by Stephen Mitchell. The Tao is the center of the universe. The good man's treasure, the bad man's refuge. Honors can be bought with fine words. Respect can be won with good deeds. But the Tao is beyond all value, and no one can achieve it. Thus, when a new leader is chosen, don't offer to help him with your wealth or your expertise. Offer instead to teach him about the Tao. Why did the ancient masters esteem the Tao? Because being one with the Tao, when you seek, you find. And when you make a mistake, you are forgiven. That is why everybody loves it. And that's it. That's the end of the chapter right there. So we have the word Tao quite a bit in this chapter. And of course, there's other chapters where the word is mentioned. But in this particular chapter, he says it a few times. Very first line, the Tao is the center of the universe. He says the Tao is beyond all value. And then there's another line that says, offer instead to teach him about the Tao. And he says, why did the great ancient masters esteem the Tao? because being one with the Tao, so he uses it a lot in this particular little chapter. And so it's kind of challenging to talk about this chapter without somehow trying to define what the Tao is. And as I've said here plenty of times in plenty of previous episodes, when you try to define the Tao, you immediately are not talking about the Tao anymore. And that is one of the paradoxes about Taoism and in this particular book, the Tao itself, right? Because it's again, it's such an elusive thing. It's something that I think the conventional rational mind can never really grasp, and it's something that it's always trying to do, right? It's all the conventional rational mind is always trying to understand. It's always trying to file away information and make it useful for the future. It compartmentalizes information, it conceptualizes things, it rationalizes things, it plans, it thinks linearly, it thinks logically, most of us, right? But when you have an idea or it's not even a good word for it, a concept like the Tao, that type of mind can never really grasp it. And the second you think you have grasped it, that's a pretty good indication that you've not grasped it. And that is a repeating theme here in the Tao Te Ching and in Taoism. And so we begin to ask the question, well, how, as he points out here multiple times throughout this little chapter, is he keeps talking about the Tao in a manner that suggests that it is something that you can achieve, that not that you can achieve, because he specifically says here, no one can achieve it. But he talks about it as if it's something that you can teach, right? He says you could teach him about the Tao. It's something you could esteem, right? He says you could esteem the Tao. And he also says the Tao is the center of the universe. So it's almost as if he's talking about it as a thing. But at the same time, we have to always use care when we are talking about it, that we are not taking it down into putting it in a neat little box, and now you can say, oh yeah, I know what the Tao is, because by its very nature, it is not graspable. And this is something that is also discussed a lot in the Zen tradition, as I've said here a few times in the past. It is said that the Buddhism that came from India way back when merged with Taoism as it was in China at that time, and became Zen. So you do hear a lot of the Taoism type of philosophy in Zen. It kind of shines through a little bit, I guess is a good way to put it. So how do we, I guess the question becomes, how do we talk about the Tao without trying to define it and conceptualize it? And that's really the trick, right? Because obviously on this podcast, I am using words, I'm sharing ideas. And when we are communicating using language, we are basically making use of concepts, right? Words are basically little auditory containers for concepts. And as I share these words, you know, hear these words and ideas pop into your mind. And so we are basically exchanging and trading concepts. So I guess a good way to talk about the Tao in this context is to just simply remind ourselves that while we are using words to point to something that we all want to align with and something that we want to understand more deeply, we must at the same time use caution and always remember that the true essence of this stuff is not something that can be spoken about. It's not something that can be ultimately grasped and understood through words. So I guess that you could say it's a little bit of a disclaimer. Let's leave it at that. It's a little bit of a disclaimer. So to talk about the Tao and what he's talking about here, and one of my favorite lines in this, by the way, which relates to what I'm about to say, is he says here, the Tao is beyond all value, right? And he says here, honors can be bought with fine words, respect can be won with good deeds, but the Tao is beyond all value. And he goes on to say, no one can achieve it. So my favorite way of conceptualizing this in my mind, right, is that the Tao is, I like the metaphor of the emptiness, the space. So there's a few lines, not in this chapter, in other chapters here in the Tao Te Ching, where he talks about a bicycle wheel, and he talks about the scopes of a bicycle wheel, and he says the center, which is empty, is what makes it useful. Or he talks about the cup, or he talks about a room, right? You have four walls, a ceiling, and a floor, but what makes the room useful is the emptiness within it, right? The space. Same thing with a cup, a bowl. It's the space that makes it valuable. It's what those things create, which is basically another way of saying it's the emptiness, right? So when we talk about the Tao, that's why it's very difficult to talk about it, because when you're talking, it's kind of like you are framing something. You are creating the walls, the ceiling, the roof. But the stuff that you can't really talk about is the space that those concepts create, right? Or the space out of which those concepts arise. So in a sense, you could never grasp or achieve the Tao because there's nothing there to achieve. So in this way, where he talks also in other chapters where he talks about that the Tao is perfect humility. It never calls attention to itself. It never says, hey, look at all the stuff that I've created. Look at this universe, how amazing it is. Look at all these things that I've given you. Look, it doesn't do any of that. In fact, it's invisible. It can't even be seen. It's basically, in a sense, for lack of a better word, it is pure emptiness, right? And yet, as we've heard in other chapters, it is what gives all things their function, gives all things their life, right? I had shared here recently, I think it was a couple episodes ago, right, is that most of what we manifest in our reality is manifested through the elimination of things, right? So we only see a very small percentage of the light spectrum that is out there. We only hear a very small percentage of sound, right, of sound frequencies, a sound range, right? I always jokingly say your dog can hear more frequencies than you can. So we actually create our moment-to-moment reality, our experience, through our process of elimination. That is what happens. Our five senses eliminate a bunch of stimulation. Our brains eliminate a bunch of stimulation through the attention gate. And then our own biases, our own beliefs eliminate more and more and more. And it's through this process of elimination that we are left with an experience. So you can say that it is the absence of many things that actually creates your moment-to-moment reality. It's the emptiness. The emptiness is what creates. And so when he makes this reference to the Tao and he says you can never achieve it, you can never grasp it, you can never claim it, you can never fully understand it, it's because it is, in a sense, it is that emptiness out of which everything arises. So how do we align with it? Ah, that's a very important question. And that's exactly what I'm going to get into in just a moment. Let me just pause for a second and allow a word from a sponsor, and I'll be right back. All right, everyone, thanks for your patience. I am back. I just want to take a quick moment here and remind you that if you ever have a question, comment, concern, or a suggestion for a future podcast episode, you could always email me at elucidatethereal@gmail.com, or you can hop on over to the YouTube channel by the same name, Dreams Warp. Find any one of the videos, doesn't matter which one, and just leave a comment under it. I get notified right away and can respond there. Also, I pretty recently launched a Twitter account, and I do post things there regularly. I also retweet some things that I find helpful and useful, and those little things serve as a nice reminder throughout the day to focus on your practice, focus on your breathing, focus on the present moment. So make sure you follow me on Twitter to get that good stuff as well. And finally, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts and you're enjoying the content, I hope you can take a moment and leave a nice rating and review. That's another nice way to support the podcast. All right, so all that being said, we've had a mouthful so far about this elusive thing we call the Tao, which supposedly gives rise to everything that exists, right? But if we can't grasp it, we can't achieve it, we can't conceptualize it, we can't put it in a nice little box and say, I got it now, then the question becomes, well, how do we align with it? And the answer is actually so much simpler than we may think. And that's actually key to it right there, is that it can't be done through the thinking, right? And this is something that many teachers have spoken about through the years. You know, most recently coming to my mind is like Eckhart Tolle in his book, Power of Now. And he talks a lot about that thinking mind, that chattery mind, always talking to you, always projecting to the future, thinking about the past, always creating, you know, possible scenarios, worries, always replaying conversations you had in your head and thinking of what you're going to say next time you see the person, and always, you know, commenting about things that had happened, or, you know, just narrating to you. I guess you could call it that internal monologue that's always talking, that we think that is who we are, that's us, that's fundamentally ourself. And really the key to this is realizing or asking the question regularly. I try to ask it multiple times a day, is, you know, how do you connect to the space within you that makes that voice possible? In other words, from where does that voice come? And what is the consciousness that is able to hear that voice? That's really the question, right? And that starts bringing you a little bit closer to that alignment that we're looking for. Because that alignment, to be centered in the Tao, means to be connected to the space within us that gives rise to thinking. So we don't have to say, or we don't have to make our goal to get rid of the thinking, okay? As long as you have a brain and you are alive, it will produce thoughts. That it is its nature, and there's nothing wrong with that. The issue is two things to focus on. One is not allowing your emotional center to be rocked by those thoughts. In other words, not allowing those thoughts to drag you around emotionally. So if you have certain thoughts about a possible future and suddenly you start getting very, very anxious, you start getting very, very fearful, or maybe you think about something from the past and suddenly you start feeling overwhelming guilt or overwhelming shame, or, you know, you start getting over, you know, incredibly sad or incredibly emotional, or you start getting very angry, you can say that those thoughts have a lot of power over your emotional center. So it's not so much the thoughts that are the problem, it's the emotional reaction to those thoughts that could be an issue, right? And then not really that it's right, wrong, good, bad. It's just a matter of those things have the potential of pulling you out of your center. So when we are meditating, when we are asking that kind of question that I mentioned earlier, which is, you know, what is the space out of which this voice arises? What we are doing there is we are becoming more conscious of, again, that emptiness within which those thoughts can appear, right? There has to be some kind of consciousness that is able to identify that voice. And it's interesting how for, I think, most human beings, we never really question that. We only listen to the voice, right? That's what we do. And in much the same way, you can say that this, you know, we're now talking about our inner space, but the same thing applies in what we conventionally call our outer space, right? Is that we see all these things and we have labels for all of them. Oh, there's a tree, there's grass, oh, there's a person, there's a car, you know, there's the clouds. But how often do we ask, you know, what is it that brings these things into existence? How did these things manifest? How did they get here? And of course, there's, you know, conventional, practical, you know, well, there's a seed and then there's water and it rained and there's soil and it's, okay, I get all that. But when you really start piercing at this question and asking it, right? So you can say, you know, the effect of the seed and the soil and the sunlight and the rain created this tree. Okay, well, you know, to start tracing it back, how did that seed get there, right? How did the soil get there? How did these things come together? How did the rain start? And you start going further back and further back and further back. Well, then you start getting into the whole concept of interdependent origination and how nothing has any kind of independent existence. It's all a series of causes and effects, right? Like a ripple on the top of a water line. everything kind of bleeds into everything else. And this kind of brings into a real tangible experience the idea of everything being connected, right? Because we often hear that, right? Oh, we're all one, everything's connected. And we kind of, yeah, I believe that. I believe that's true. But when we start asking these kinds of questions, we actually start to tap into not just understanding that everything is one on a conceptual level, but we start really feeling that reality. We start actually seeing it. We start actually experiencing it. And what a difference that makes, right? That kind of realization is what you can start to, I guess, label as some evidence that you are getting more aligned with the Tao, right? That you are starting to see the source, as talked about in the very first chapter, the source or the mystery, as he calls it in that chapter, versus the manifestations, which are the things, the actual objects that appear, or the thoughts, if we're going back to the inner space, the thoughts that appear. Those are the manifestations, the concepts, the forms. But again, we want to divert some of our attention. I think safe to say in our culture, in our day and age, we want to divert a good amount of our attention. We want to peel it away from those thought formations, from those that inner voice, from these objects that we see. And we want to start aligning a little bit more with the quote unquote space that makes these things possible. And this is especially true when we discuss our inner space, our own consciousness. Its depths is truly endless, the depths of it, right? It's truly completely endless. It goes on for infinity. So you can become aware of a thought, and then you can ask yourself, you know, what is the space that makes this thought possible? And then as you do that, interestingly, that space now becomes a concept. So, oh yeah, there is space. I see that. Congratulations, you just turned nothing into a thing, mentally speaking. So now you can continue and say, well, what makes that space possible, right? And you could keep peeling away and peeling away and peeling away. And eventually what you find is that it goes on forever, right? It's an infinite ability to become conscious, an infinite ability to become more and more aware. And as we do that, we begin to align more and more with this thing which he calls the Tao. Because the truth is that it would be, again, using this concepts, these words, you can say that if you were to continue to peel away the layers of your consciousness, your awareness, further and further and further and further and further and further back, right, for infinity, that is the movement of the Tao, the returning, the letting go of the concepts, the becoming aware, the becoming more and more conscious, the ever-increasing embracement of emptiness, right? And that is why it can never be grasped. It could never be conceptualized. It could never be compartmentalized. It could never be talked about. Because as you do that, you are moving from it. You are actually creating concepts. You are creating ideas. You are creating thought formations. So it's a great chapter where he talks about, he says, honors can be bought with fine words, right? That's the concepts. Respect can be won with good deeds, right? More concepts, more stuff. But the Tao is beyond all value, right? That he says that right here. And he says, and no one can achieve it. And finally, toward the end, which I also really like, or I'm sorry, where is it? It's actually more toward the beginning. He says, the bad man's refuge, the good man's treasure. So what could those lines mean? Is that when you have a person who conventionally speaking can be considered bad, if the person becomes aware of that, of the Tao, of the space, then that can become their refuge. Whereas a conventionally good man, right, that becomes their treasure, right? It becomes whatever is needed, right? And that is the one of the the functions of the Tao, right, is that it could produce anything, right? Out of awareness, anything can come. And I think the same sort of idea is coming across when he says, because being one with the Tao, when you seek, you find, and when you make a mistake, you are forgiven. So, and he ends it with, that's why everybody loves it. So it's very, very nice chapter. Again, that was chapter 62. I hope you found the content helpful today. And stay tuned. I will be back later this week with another episode. Really want to thank you for listening, and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.